Praise the Lord.
How many will confess with me that you need Him every hour? Amen. Hallelujah. Not just once in a while or not just on occasion, but you need Him every hour. In fact, every minute of every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. And He's there. An ever-present help in time of need. He's the one we can call on and get an answer. Amen. He's got it all under control. And that brings great comfort to me. I know there are folks out there who think they've got it under control, but they haven't even come close. That's a good place to say amen. Praise God. So I'm excited this morning. How about you? I am always excited to see what God's up to. Amen? In your life, in my life, and out there. Because He's always up to something. How many know that? He's always up to something. He's never idle. Praise God.
No, there has been this week all over the internet and all over the news the story of this homeless man who was accidentally discovered, and they cite him as having a golden voice. Basically, he's a radio announcer. So here you have this man who has been standing out on the side of the street holding a sign, "Help, any little bit helps, God bless you," you know, that kind of thing. And all of a sudden now he's cleaned up, he's got a job. Then the critics start to work. Oh, this guy has a past. He's had some drug and alcohol problems. He's had a couple other little problems. Oh, then they start saying, well, now he's disqualified because of his past. See, the world says, no matter what you got, if you got a past, I can't use you. God says, if you have a past, you need me. And then we're going to make that past go away. We're going to cast it as far as east is from west, and we're going to make that past go away, and you're going to step out in the might and the power of the Almighty God.
Amen.
Because I need you, every one of you. Amen. Everywhere we look, everywhere we hear, if we will just listen and look, God is trying to teach the world a lesson.
Amen.
And there's a lesson right there.
Amen.
And people will just wake up and receive what the Spirit is saying. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to see this man successful, blessed, prosperous, and operating.
Amen.
Using that gift of his in the kingdom of God. That's what I'm going to declare.
Amen.
It's a little bit about what we're going to talk about this morning. In God, listen carefully, the difference between God and the world is in God. If you're in Him, you've received Him, there is no past. Was that direct enough?
Amen.
There is no past in God. There is no past in your life. There was no past in Paul's life. Didn't make any difference what the old Paul did or Saul did. It was dead. It was gone. He was a new creature, a new creation, a new being in Christ that never before existed before God. And now he was Saul of the world, father, there's the devil. And now he's Paul. He's anointed by God, called by God, and put in place by God. And his past was his past. And that's why he could say, when they accuse or when the accuser came, and he comes all the time, "I know what you did." Doesn't make any difference what that man did. If God's hand of blessing is on you, the Bible says you can't be cursed. Shall I say it again? We just might as well settle that right now and get that down in our hearts. You can't curse what God has blessed. Amen? And not only that, God doesn't dwell where there's curses. So if he's in you and he's in me, guess what? Bring it on, sucker, because you can't do it. Amen? I like what Bob said last Sunday when I exhorted you all. Some spiritual kung fu on the enemy. I like that. I like it. I'll just tell you, for those of you who may not have heard this before, I was talking to a Denver policeman one night. My son and I were... Of course, for those who may or may not know, my son's a black belt in Taekwondo. Just a little tidbit, nothing, you know, no big deal. But we were talking one night, and the officer said, "Well, I've got a black belt in Bang Fu." And we looked at him, Bang Fu. Now we've heard a lot about different martial arts and stuff, but never heard about Bang Fu. And he said, "Oh yeah," he said, "every officer's got a black belt in Bang Fu." Bang Fu. Okay, moving right along. Father, we love you. We thank you for your joy, the joy that's been placed in us that we have because of you and in you, Lord. Father, we want to radiate that joy today. We've come into your house with joy in our hearts, with thanksgiving and singing, Lord, and adoration and praise and worship for you today. Once again, Lord, we thank you for this time together, Lord, and we thank you that you have something for us. But Lord, we have something for you. We have our worship and our praise. We lift our hands and our hearts and our voices to you this morning, Lord, to give you glory and honor. And we lift you up so that others will be drawn to you, Lord. Men will be drawn to you. And Lord, their lives will be changed and transformed. And they'll understand what it is to live as one who has no past, only has today and future. Father, you said we're not supposed to look at the past. We're not worthy of the kingdom if we look at the past. We're supposed to forget those things which are behind and press on towards those things that are before us. So this morning we can determine in our hearts we're going to do that. We're going to do that today, Lord, to bring glory and honor to you, to bless you, Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you have, for what God has planned this morning, and that you're going to bring it into fruition in this house, in these houses, Lord. And we're going to change for your in your image and likeness. We're going to be Christ-like, not Antichrist. So we give you praise this morning and thank you in advance for the outcome, which is good. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to say something. You can hang on to that for a minute. I want to say something about that prayer, that calling tree. It's called a calling tree. Kathy came to us and said, and it all came from when Fran went to the hospital, and so many people didn't even know it. There were a few of us that got phone calls, but many people didn't even know it. And Kathy had it on her heart, so she came to the board with it. We talked about it. God said, Kathy's the person, so we talked to her. She wasn't forced, and she joyfully took that job on. And so Kathy is the one. And it's not so much praying. We have people who pray, but that's obviously part of the purpose. But it's so that people are notified so they can pray or can go and visit somebody, or they'll know what's going on in the body. Amen. There's nobody left out or that misses what's happening. Okay? This is our family, right? We need to know so we can stand in the gap for each other, right? So that's why Kathy did that. Bless her heart. And she's excited about it. So if something's going on, if somebody's sick, if somebody's going to the hospital, or there's something else, even the good stuff, hopefully there's more good stuff than bad stuff, give her a call. Let her know. Let's pass on these testimonies. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I also want to say something about, this church has been big and small and big and small. And even though we're just a few right now, we do still have some areas where we need somebody to step up. Now, I want to share with you that this, when you step up for a ministry, I don't care what it is, Kemp can say amen to this. When you take a position as a police officer, that's not just your job, that is your life. 24/7, 365 days a year, you are a police officer. Now, you may not always be on duty, but you have certain things that are mandated by the policies of your department, by the laws of the city and state that you live in, that you're required to follow. And you have the ability and the authority, based on the government, to go in and intervene in situations that it becomes necessary. Okay? I want you to understand, and not that anybody here doesn't, but when you sign up for a ministry, or you feel called, or you've God put something on your heart for a ministry, that's not just something or just an avocation. That is your calling. God calls, equips, and anoints people for certain jobs, for certain things. It's because they're good at it. He's placed that talent. He's placed that ability within them. So it needs to be treated the same way. I mean, how long would you all keep coming here if Bob and I just decided, I'm not going to preach today. I got other things to do. No. See, it's not only a ministry, but it's a calling that goes along with the ministry, and they run hand in hand. So there has to be faithfulness there. Now, nobody's twisting anybody's arm, but if you feel led, we need a greeter. We need somebody who will be here, who will be able to take that seriously. If God's laying it on your heart, you want to be actively involved, we need a greeter. We need somebody who will take it upon themselves to be here. At least, would it be unreasonable to say 30 minutes early? 30 minutes, I think that's what we discussed. 30 minutes early. To be here, make sure that cards get distributed for anybody who comes in that's a visitor. And make sure they get signed up in the book. Make sure that they know exactly what's going on. They get a bulletin. and let them know how much we are thankful and, you know, we're grateful that they're here and how welcome they are. Amen? So if that's put on, God puts that on anybody's heart, then please let us know. All right? Yeah. Right. Well, I think if a person was to stand somewhere here right back in the back by the sound system and stuff, or the sound equipment, the board and everything, you'd probably catch people both sides coming and going. If you see somebody, give you a chance opportunity to see back there, and then also somebody comes in the front door. So anyway, if God's putting that on your heart, please let us know. All right? I tell you, there's a blessing in it. None of these jobs comes without a great reward and great blessing. Okay? It may seem like from the natural people's attitudes that it's there's no thanks in it, but I promise you, it doesn't make any difference what people think or what people see or what they feel. It matters what God thinks. And God said He'll reward you openly. And He takes those things in and He keeps them written down. Amen? So enough said. If God puts it on your heart, go for it. All right. I hear Moses telling God, but God, I've got stammering lips. I can't even talk. And God says, you don't worry about it, Moses. I'll put in your mouth the things that you need to say. You need to remember that whom God calls, He equips. Amen? And He doesn't take the able and make them willing. He takes the willing and makes them able. Amen? So don't let what you think are your shortcomings or your inabilities hold you back. If God's speaking to your heart about something, and maybe it's something we haven't even talked about this morning or brought up, be bold enough to come forward. And just ask God, God, are you speaking to me? Is this what you want me to do? Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just before we get started, I want to brag on somebody. You know, Bill France is one of the quietest people in this church. And yet he's a faithful man. I don't know how many know this, but Bill has, in times when we had a lot, and now in times when we're not too many of us, but he has been a faithful executor of the office of head usher. And he's done it faithfully. He's done it faithfully. And so I thank God for Bill France. The people up here for years have played and sung, and you know, some of you have been up here too. And I thank God for the faithful people that we have. You know, those of you who are here this morning, but for people who take what God calls them to do seriously. God's blessing is following Bill, all of us. Again, we need to just really be thankful for what God's given. Amen? I appreciate Bill so much. If y'all get a chance, you give him a pat on the back and thank him, will you? Amen. Now, that'll work too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, this is your time. Once again, we are your people. And now, Lord, we've come. And now, Lord, we give all of our attention in a different way to you, Lord, to hear, not only with our ears, but with our spiritual ears, our hearts, our minds, our emotions, Lord, what you have to say this morning. Father, let this be, because it's your word. In fact, it will be. I declare it right now. It will be a word that edifies, exhorts, builds up, and comforts, Lord, your people. And causes faith to grow. For that I praise you and thank you. Hide me behind the cross. I am only your servant, Lord. And I do this because I love you and because I love your people. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. For those of you who were here last week, you heard the exhortation. And then if you weren't here Wednesday night, you missed out on what Bob had to say about love. There you go. Love. Love. I want to say something to you this morning. Love and trust go hand in hand. Love operates in trust. Trust operates in love. Amen? The reason you trusted God is because you felt, at the moment you needed it, His love. And when He said things to you that you saw in the Word, when it was revealed to you what His Word says, and what He has for you, and what He did for you because of His love for you, that was unconditional. I mean, why do you love Him? Because He first loved you. Amen? You found out that He had a plan for your life, that He sent Jesus to redeem you, to take you out of where you were and where you were headed. Amen? And set you on a path that goes to and ultimately goes and takes you into His presence. Amen? Now, along this journey, we have to understand that faith and love and trust are all three intertwined. God cannot lie. I think that's been preached here more than any other verse in the Bible or any other passage. God cannot lie. And He doesn't do things that He needs to turn around and repent for. Now, He may have some thoughts once in a while that... in fact, He's the only one that can actually say, you know, hey, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out and make another one just like you. At least somebody saw the humor in that. Anyway, we need to understand once and for all that God's Word is true. God's Word does accomplish what it's sent to do. The first word sent was salvation. Sozo, sozo, safety. Saved from something to something. Safe from something. Amen? The problem we have as human beings is we get caught between the natural world and the natural way of thinking and the natural wisdom and the wisdom of God and the truth of God, which is His Word, which is His will. His Word is His will and His will is His Word. We, because of the programming and because of the natural, I'm going to use the word carnal. I know that's a Christianese or churchy, but it's the truth. Our carnal or unregenerated mind, we get into ruts that we follow in spite of the Holy Spirit dealing with our hearts, revealing to us what's truth, and we run to places and people and things that can only tell us worldly or physical things. We read newspapers. How many remember when Annie Graham Lotz came out here a while back? They were talking about prayer in the schools and all of the things that were happening. I think this happened around the Columbine incident, where they said, you know, that people go to, they pick up the newspaper in the morning, they subscribe to the newspaper, and they'll believe what's written in that newspaper, or they'll listen to the news in the morning on the television or the radio, and they'll believe what that radio or the television says. And their focus gets dragged off of the things of God and the promises of God, in which there is no calamity and there is no harm, there cannot be, there never will be, never has been. Is there any calamity or harm in serving the Lord?
No.
Or in the promises of God?
No.
Okay? Then why is it that you and I operate and get sucked into listening to and believing things that are not for our good, they're for our detriment? They're propagated by men. Many times, not exclusively, but many times and most of the time, it's by unregenerated human thinking. And there's no help in that for you or I. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't use these people or He doesn't use these people, but what it means is that we need to be very careful and we need to make a choice every day what we're going to listen to, what we're going to subscribe to, and I'm not talking about like a newspaper subscription, but what we subscribe to as an everyday practice. Does that make sense? Voices come every day. We are bombarded with voices that come at us from here, from here. This world is full of people who are quote-unquote professionals who tell you all kinds of things, and not one of them lines up with this. Amen? Now, Bob mentioned here earlier when we first got started about this man. Here's a man who was lost and undone. Now, I'm sorry, I don't believe good things happen unless God's in it. I don't care whether you're in the world or out of the world, a Christian, a born-again believer. The good things don't happen unless God is in it. God has a plan and God has a purpose. Amen? And how many understand that it's for your and my good?
Amen.
For our well-being, for our benefit. Amen?
Yep.
So all of a sudden, those whose father is the father of light, who's known as the father of lies, a liar, a thief, a killer, a destroyer, he comes along and the first thing he does is his, bless their darn hearts and mixed up minds, people come along and start accusing in the voice of the media, in the voice of critics. Some may be quote-unquote professionals, and start criticizing this man. I remember reading one time in the Word where Jesus sat with a harlot when she was about to be stoned. And as they were there and they were accusing her and they were ready to stone her, Jesus knelt down in the sand and he doodled. And he said, all right, you know, I understand what you're going to do. Be about your business. It was what their law said. It was what their tradition said. They were justified from that action. But Jesus, in the wisdom of God, said, but whichever of you doesn't have any sin or has never committed a wrong, you throw the first stone. And as she waited in anticipation, Jesus already knew what was going to happen. She waited in anticipation for death to come, and they all disappeared. And Jesus asked her, he said, woman, where is your accuser? And she looked around and she said, there's none. There is none. They've all gone. And Jesus said to her, I don't accuse you either. But go and don't sin anymore. Your sins are forgiven. Don't sin anymore. Don't do it. Now, because we're humans, we make mistakes. We have appetites and things that we'll spend our whole physical life trying to overcome. And how do we do that? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, by the washing of the water of the word, the renewing of the mind. Amen. And by trusting in and relying on. You say you love him. He says he loves you. There has to be a mutual trust between you. For you to believe him, you have to have a mutual love and a mutual trust and faith to believe what he says and to operate in those things. Amen? So the biggest thing we need to do is we need to understand, first of all, where these different voices come from. Consider who it is that's saying the things, whether it's a lawyer, a politician, or any other professional you want to deal with, doctors. We need to consider where it's coming from and who their father is before we listen. Now here we just saw and heard the testimony of a miracle. My dad was on Coumadin until the day he died. Not good for you. My mother's cardiologist, when she had this water and stuff, or this what they call quote-unquote conjunctive heart failure. Here's a woman who, like some of you, have been healed and delivered of cancer. It's been eradicated. Those were her words at her 90th birthday party in front of, I don't know how many people were there. It's been eradicated. There's only one source that can do that. Amen. And the thing to consider is, first of all, where did that cancer come from? And the promise of God says you will have cancer. No way. The promise of God says you will have and disease will come upon you. No way. Amen, Richard. What did he say? He said, you're saved. You're safe. Safe from what? From destruction. Physical, mental, spiritual, financial. You're saved from the attacks of this world. Doesn't mean they won't come, but those are opportunities for you to stand like that tree planted by the living water and make your declaration known so that you'll have a testimony and your testimony go out and touch the hearts and lives of other people. I wonder what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thought, what Daniel thought when they were cast in the lion's den. We have a pretty good idea by what the Scripture says, what they thought. There was a hesitation in those three Jewish boys that went just as far as saying, God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bend, we're not going to bow. Humans, even in the church, are some of the biggest sissies I have ever, and that includes me, we're all in this together, I'm on the hook, so are you. Because when things don't go right, the first thing we do is, it's almost like it's something that is built into us. And it comes from the worldly nature in the garden when they disobeyed God. To run to the negative or to run to the place where there is no help. How many know what I'm talking about? Every day we're faced with voices, reports, and choices. They come from every conceivable place and venue. We're faced with the mandate of making a decision of what we believe and receive into our hearts. Hearts we all know as the mind, the will, the emotions, the seat of appetites. Amen. If God's already given a report, then that should be the final authority every day of our life, every moment of our life, in every situation. That should be the final authority. And yet we vacillate. I don't know about you, but that drives me closer to God. That tells me of my need for Him, because I haven't got it down perfect yet. But I'm getting there, and you're getting there. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you want to turn there, you can. Isaiah 26:3. It says, you. Who's you? It's Jesus. It's the Lord. It's the Word. You will keep him in perfect peace. Whose what? Mind. Whose heart and emotions is stayed on you. In other words, fixed on you. Fixed on him. Fixed on him. Remember, love and trust and faith all go hand in hand. Why? Because he trusts in you. When we read, you will keep him, that means he will guard, watch over, and preserve from dangers. I don't know about y'all, but sickness and disease, poverty, are dangerous to our health and our well-being, are they not? Keep him in perfect peace means he'll keep you in completeness, soundness, safety, health, prosperity, tranquility, and contentment. Another translation for mind is purpose and imagination. Why? Because he trusts. In other words, he or you and I have confidence in. We are secure and we are careless in his presence. Because why? We cast our care on him. When somebody comes to you with a negative report, we're in a recession. The first response is to hear that and something inside of us grabs a hold of that and we hang on to it. We've got that bad report and for some reason we grab a hold of that. Thank God most of us will only hang on to it for a minute or two, if that long. And then we remember, it can't touch me. But you see, because we are humans who need to be regenerated, we operate on the input or the impulses or the things, the stimuli, if you will, of the outside. For some reason, we run to that. We listen to that. We look at that. And we consider that. Rather than running to the Word and saying, no, my God says that I will prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. Why? Because it's because of His riches, not this world's. See, the problem is because we operate in a world that has set down guidelines and laws and things like that, and we're told to obey those things, that's what we operate in rather than faith. Again, maybe just for a minute or two. And there's no condemnation there. Unless you believe the lie against the truth. At some point, the Holy Spirit will come, point to you and I, and He'll say, wait a minute, here's what God says. Now, how does He do that? It's by what we've put in here. Amen? By the renewing of our mind. By the regeneration. Renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise the Lord. Who is what? Our teacher and our guide. Who leads us into truth, points out the truth, and reminds us of the truth on every hand. So you get a prognosis or a diagnosis, or you get an evil report. First thing you need to do is let the Spirit of God minister to you and say, wait a minute, consider who's saying it to you. Once again, as I exhorted on a Wednesday night here not too long ago, if you can't see Jesus or the Word of God saying that to you or pronouncing that on you, you need to turn it down. I don't care what your body feels like. I don't care what the symptoms look like. I don't care what you feel. I mean, let's face it. We like to be mollycoddled. Now, don't lie against the truth. How many of you can look back and remember, and maybe even now, when you're feeling down and out or you're feeling kind of sickly, you like it when somebody comes and strokes your head and, oh, you poor dear. We like that. Why? Because it appeals to all the fleshly appetites. Rather than standing up and saying, wait a minute, I'm not having this. I'm not listening to this. I'm not getting involved with this. In Jesus' name, I reject this. I rebuke it. And the Word of God says. Amen? 1 Peter 5:6-7. 5, 6 and 7. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That word, literally translated in the original language, is 3308, and the exact word is anxiety. What happens to you when you hear an evil report, no matter where it comes from, no matter what type it is? You get under anxiety. As we mature, as we go on with the Lord and we grow in the Lord, that anxiety, all of a sudden we catch it, we realize what it is, we call it what it is, and we say, wait a minute, I'm not going there. See, I just want to tell you again, that's why I don't tell people, take care. I'm spending my whole life trying to get away from anxiety and stuff, and somebody tells me, or I'm going to tell somebody, take care? No. Now, that sounds religious, I understand that, but you have to understand the heart behind it. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all for what? The glory of God. Amen? Even, and sometimes especially as Christians, we struggle with the voices and reports we hear because we put trust in places and on things from the places these reports and voices come from in their credibility. We put trust in it. Well, it's a brother or sister who said that. If it's not lining up with the Word, that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't mean it's to be accepted. And I don't care who the messenger is, if it doesn't look like Jesus, if it doesn't sound like Jesus, if it doesn't smell like Jesus, I'm having no part of it. Thank you very much. Now, you all know I'm not exempt from the attack of the enemy physically. You've watched me for the last probably month or so go through, you know, attacks. But I'm healed. I don't care what the symptom is. I don't care what the attack is. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I am free. I am set free. Jesus said, if you're set free, you're free indeed. Amen? Why? Because my house is not built on the sand. It's built on the rock. The rock of what? It's the cornerstone, Jesus. His word, his ability, what he did in obedience to the Father. He paid the price. For me to believe anything else is a slap in his face. For me to operate in anything else is a slap in his face. It's trying to make of no effect. It's the Adamic nature trying to come back in and make of no effect the work of God in our lives. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
I want to totally and forever be at the place where when something is said to me that's of a negative or ungodly nature. By ungodly, I'm not talking about... Well, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying anything that doesn't look like God or sound like God is ungodly. Okay? I want to be at the place where I'm not anti-Christ. I am Christ-like. Continuing to operate and live in and grow in His image and likeness. Amen? When the woman with the issue came to Jesus, he wasn't, what do I do now? Well, what if? He remembered the word. It says, I know the one I believed in, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Amen? And that's what we need to operate in. Not feelings, not emotions, not physical stimuli, but the stimuli of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. Anyway, even and sometimes especially as Christians, we struggle with the voices and reports we hear. These voices and reports come from family members, media, professionals, all disciplines. You know what I'm talking about? Lawyers, doctors, bakers, candlestick makers. You know what I'm saying? And even from well-meaning Christians who may not have made up their mind what the truth is and what it is not. If you look at a symptom or you look at a report, for the moment, because of the situation that the enemy is trying to bring in your life, it may look true for a moment or two, but it's not a fact. Or it may be a fact, but it's not truth. But we consider where it comes from. Well, don't you understand? They went to law school for umpteen years. They know. Oh, honey, no. The only way, the only truth, and the only life is found right here. Not in a lawyer's office. Not in a court of law. and not in the medical profession. Now, God, again, uses those. I appreciate Kathy so much. I appreciate Jean. Here's two women who have been in the medical profession. Kathy still is. And yet they know what the truth is. And that's what they operate in. And they use it for the glory of God. Amen? But unfortunately, too many of these people don't, because they don't even know the author and finisher of faith. He's not their author and finisher. He's not their Alpha and Omega. I'll tell you, my observation in this day and age is that police, when they're trained to operate and worship at the altar of law. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's some of them who are just like robots. There's no compassion. There is no black. I mean, there is no area of compassion or area of, you know, okay, I don't think this warrants the full letter of the law. How many remember that the Bible says the letter alone kills, but the Spirit gives life? Amen? Hallelujah. They and we operate on sensual feelings and thoughts or input. Again, stimuli. Some we have picked up through life's experiences, and some come from those who we feel confident we can trust. We have confidence in them. We have experience. We have mileage with them. Bless you. And yet, if they're not speaking the truth that you are healed, you are delivered, you are transformed, you are set free, you're a new species or being that never before existed, a new creation, then you need to reject it with everything within you. And that means in the midst of the symptom or the feeling or the knowledge that's been put on you because of words. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to always remember that words have power. Creative or destructive, they have power. We need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. Now, does that mean if you make a mistake, you're finished? No. God's perfecting us. God's dealing with each one of us where we're at. His laws and His blessings and His promises don't change, but He deals with us where we're at and by what's in our heart at the moment. So this isn't the law where you point a finger, well, you made a mistake, you messed up, that's it. No. The reason we grow every day is because we understand our frailty. We understand our need. And we know that the only place to get that need met is to run into His presence, run into His Word, and run into fellowship with Him so that we can be changed. So that someday we can overcome these things, these little foxes that try to come in and spoil the vine. Amen? That try to steal down, tear down and steal and kill, which is what the enemy wants. I like the little song that they used to sing in Sunday school for the little kids. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Amen. I like that. We could do a lot by remembering that. We'd go a long way by remembering that. Amen. If you want to, why don't you turn with me to Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 3. This is a familiar one. Verses 5 through 7. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, with all your mind, will, and emotions. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and recognize and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Do not or be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. Evil doesn't just mean stealing, killing, things like that. That means evil reports. Things that go against the promise and the Word of God. Things that you've been promised as an inheritance. Do you know that everything that's in this book is part of your inheritance? For you to receive or believe something else means you're walking out on or leaving behind, even if it's only briefly for a moment, your inheritance. And that's what you need to be able to say in the face of these reports. And the ones who say, wait a minute, that's not part of my inheritance. It may be a fact for a moment or two. But the outcome is going to depend on what you say. Now, if something happens and you need to come for prayer, that's what God said. Come, get prayer. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the elders. They'll lay hands on you. Anoint you with oil. And you'll recover. Add, you know, get some faith. The shame and the disobedience is not hearing the report and having the feelings. It's in not acting in the way God said we should act in the midst of that report or feeling. Amen? Is that too hard? Are you with me? Am I losing you? Praise the Lord. Bad reports and thoughts thrive and operate in and on fear. Isn't that right? When you hear something negative, whether it's in the media, from a doctor, from a lawyer, first thing you think about, maybe it's from a real estate agent, Karen. First thing you do, and this is what I said, our flesh, because it needs to be governed by the Spirit of God, not by our intellect. Amen? Or by outside physical stimuli. Sensual stimuli. The first thing it does is it brings the thought or brings fear or anxiety, right? They cause you to lose faith. They operate in and on fear, and they cause you to lose faith and confidence in the word of promise from God. See, somewhere we get the goofy idea that, well, that just can't come on me. And yet, the Bible says these things come to build character in us and to cause us to have a testimony and to know without hesitation or reservation the one who is our help, who has made the promise, who has fulfilled the promise, and who's given us the promise because of his obedience. Now, if we're supposed to be in the image and likeness of him, then that means we must have to be obedient and do only what the Father says through the Word, through fellowship, and through the Spirit speaking the Word through the Holy Spirit into our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. When those words of anxiety come, words that bring anxiety, panic and doubt enter in. And then cares grab our hearts. Anxiety grabs our hearts. The question arises, what do I do now? Where has God gone, or why is this happening to me? Left to run their course, these thoughts and voices turn into hopelessness. And then the question from the Word arises, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope. Put your trust in God. Amen? Lift up the hands that hang down. Lift up your voice now still. Sing forth continual praises into Zion's hill. Amen? What does that do? What that does is that automatically brings you into the presence of God, which automatically ushers in the anointing. And what does the anointing do? It breaks the yoke of bondage. Amen? That's trying to come on your life. Physical, mental, spiritual, financial. Amen? Am I telling you the truth this morning? Amen. The only time there's no hope is when we surrender to the world's facts and thoughts and give in to them instead of the Word, promises, and the work of Jesus and the Father God and the Father, the work that Jesus and the Father God accomplished on the cross. Jesus, what did He say? It is finished. If you really believe you're a new creation or a new species or being that never before existed, that means you're not governed by the input, the stimuli of this world. Unless you give in to it. Choices, voices. Every day, every moment, we need to make choices appropriate to walk in the blessings, the promises of God. And not in the calamity that God delivered us out of. If He delivered us out, why would we want to walk any longer in it? How dumb is that, Bill? How dumb is that? Someone might even say it's double-mindedness. Salvation, or sozo, means saved. Safe from all curses, sicknesses, diseases, and calamity that is in the world. And of this world, brought about by disobedience and the curse. 1 John 4:8 says, there is no fear in love or trust. Synonymous. But perfect love or trust does what? Casts out what? All fear. Because fear involves torment. I've gotten a bad report. And the first thing that happens is fear sets in. Now what? God, where are you? What happened? How did this happen? He didn't say you'd be exempt from all the trials and things, but He said that He'd be with you, and He already triumphed over them in it, which makes us more than conquerors because He's given those blessings to us. Amen? Fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love and trust. Ouch. Ouch. There's an indictment we need to work on. But you need to understand that while you're working on it, you're not condemned. Because there is now, therefore, no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? It's just a reminder we need to come up a little higher. Amen? We need to spend a little more time in the Word, a little more time in close, intimate fellowship with the Father. Amen? With truth. Isn't He the way, the truth, and the life? I'm going to say amen whether you do or not.
Amen.
Bob, minister on love Wednesday night. Go back and read what love does and does not display. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. You remember he talked about, those of you who are here, he talked about the fact that love has four things it does not do or does not operate in and four things it does operate in. That's love. That's trust. And that's what we need to operate in for ourselves, for one another, because that's the way God operates. God never said, if you'll do everything perfect and never make a mistake, then it'll be okay. If that was the case, then He wouldn't put things in the Bible like the Scripture that says, at the time when the darkness is really dark, hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning when you know that sun's going to rise. Amen? And the light's going to be there, and it's going to reveal the darkness and put away the darkness and the things that were done in darkness. Because light reveals darkness and reveals the evil deeds done in the darkness. And how what thrives in darkness? Amen? Well, that too. Well, that's praise the Lord. I like that. Mold, yeah. The moldy, nasty filthiness of the devil thrives in the darkness. That tries to come and make you sick. You understand what I'm saying? I don't mean just physically. I mean emotionally and spiritually sick. Meaning you've lost, for a moment or two, your faith and your ability to operate in truth. Amen? You need a good shot of the penicillin of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir?
I just have a quick testimony on this, what you're talking about.
Go ahead, Richard.
On KOA, this last week, they were talking about a website. It's www.endofamerica.com. And they have a video on there saying that sometime this year, doesn't matter what denomination you have in your pocket, it will have no value. You'll not be able to buy anything with it. Well, I happen to remember Matthew 6, and it says, well, if Jesus clothes the grass, He will clothe me.
That's right.
And if He feeds the birds, which He does,
amen,
He will feed me.
Preach
well,
it, Richard.
I have no worry. I have no concern, no matter what the value of the dollar is.
Amen. Amen. Unless what? You give in to fear and the lie that was spoken. You see, the reason that comes and the reason people feel like things like that is because their value and importance is on, again, the external physical stimuli, not on the fact that God's the one who created it all, that it all belongs to Him. And He said that He'd bless us with all spiritual blessings, not only in heavenly places, but in this earth. He'd give us all things that pertain to life and godliness in this earth. Amen? Some of this stuff isn't going to do us any good when we get to heaven. I don't think there's going to be any money in heaven, do you? There'll be golden streets, but, part of that gold also is you and I. You know that? Part of that gold that's talked about there in heaven is you and I. The gold of one who's been redeemed and who walked their whole life believing in and having faith in God. And who in the midst of trials and tribulations and things that come, which God says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Amen? He said, in this world you will have tribulation. He didn't promise a rose garden or a bowl of cherries. He said, in this world you will have tribulation, but what? Be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We need to check our allegiance. Where it's at. Is it to and in God's truth? I mentioned the scripture here a few minutes ago. I'm going to read it to you real quickly. John 14:6. Is our allegiance in God's truth? Who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by or through me. Obviously, you know I'm using the Amplified because there's got so many other words added there, but I think it really makes it poignant, the thoughts that are brought out here. Or is it in the world's way, the world's wisdom, which is not from God, but the Father of this world? Well, but don't you know? It's flu season. I'm going to get the flu. Yeah, you just said it. Guess what? Your faith just operated. Negative faith. And then you sit back and cry, oh dear God, how did I get the flu? Why did this come on me? Because you spoke it into existence. You didn't come against it. And that didn't even come from some... Well, yes, it did. Originally, the thought comes from doctors who've got to propagate their medications and all this kind of stuff along with the pharmaceutical companies. But it really comes from media who picks up on these things and they put it out over the airwaves. And old dumb us, we just... Martha, it's flu season, so we might get the flu. Tie it outside. I'm not having any part of it. You know, I haven't had a flu shot in years, and I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God.
Amen.
I have never had a flu shot. I don't believe in them. I don't want any part of them. I'm not saying if you do, you're wrong or you're in sin. I'm saying that's where my faith is at this time in my life. And it's operated good for me for a lot of years now.
Yep.
Once again, y'all know that doesn't mean I don't have things try to come on me. And it may hang around for a while. That doesn't change my confession. Amen? How many years? 3 years, wasn't it? You fought with those people in the real estate? And look where you are now. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season you will reap. If you don't give up, you don't faint, you don't falter. In what? The things of God, the promises of God. That needs to be the thing you stand on and that you speak out of your mouth every day of your life, every moment of your life, morning, noon, and night, even in your sleep. You know, I get a kick out of me sometimes. I make myself laugh, even in my sleep. I mean, I'll be laying there asleep, and obviously I'm somewhere in the twilight zone because about the time something happens, all of a sudden I'll catch myself laughing about something. Wake myself up because I'm laughing about something. Or I'm talking to somebody. Or I'm saying something. Do you know what my dreams are about? I'm just going to tell you some of the dreams that I have. I have dreams of being in places where I was in the past. Sometimes they are not exactly positive, but most of the time, a majority of the time, they're positive. Where I'm in a great place and God is allowing me to speak to myriads of people. God's moving, God's blessing. I'm just a little old preacher in some little old church. But it's not insignificant. It's in the plan of God. And that's why God moves. Not because of me. Like the song said this morning, He's amazing. He's amazing. His perfect love never ends in spite of me and in spite of you. Amen? My heart cries out. My being, my soul cries out, amazing. Father, you are amazing. Y'all still with me?
Yep.
Can I go just a little bit further?
Yep.
We look to physical or earthly means of preservation rather than God's all-encompassing gift of preservation, eternal life. Eternal life, not eternal calamity, not eternal situations that are negative, and the blessings and the promises He gives us, even in this life, in the midst of the trials and tribulations, which He has overcome, making us once again more than conquerors. He's already conquered it. He's already conquered death, hell, and the grave. Did you hear me? He's already conquered. The book says He's already conquered death, hell, and the grave. Is sickness and calamity and poverty and mental instability and bad reports covered in that?
I think so.
Or is some of that left out?
Nope.
Amen. You need to have your mind made up. Made up. John 10:1-5. Gene, you want to go to the piano? John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, he who does not enter in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, elsewhere from some other quarter, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door, enters by the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. Anything that comes into our lives from any other means than revelation of the Spirit of God and the Word of God and fellowship with Him is a wolf. And he didn't come in through the front door. He came in through the back door to catch you off guard. That means he's a thief and a robber. He comes to steal the Word, and that's what the enemy's all about. We know that. He doesn't care about you. He cares about destroying the Word in your life, making it of no effect so he can hold you where he wants you. You're not a threat to him anymore. But as long as you walk in the Word and the power and the anointing and walk in the promises of God, you're a threat to him. I like what they do in some of these martial arts movies. Bring it on. Come on, sucker. You want your nose bloodied again? I'm just the one that can do that. You're just the one that can do that. Amen? But he who enters, in verse 2, by the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name and brings or leads them out. When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never, on any account, follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers or recognize their call. Calamity, problems are out there calling every moment of every day. But that voice of the Spirit of the one who's crying in the wilderness, make way, make straight the path of the Lord. He's coming. The one who's made promises and given them to you, and that you've operated in the blessings of the things He said. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for he'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or riches. Now he's talking about money there, but it's far beyond that. We need to question every moment of every day with the thoughts that come to us and the thoughts we think and the things that come out of our mouth. Where is our loyalty? Who are we bringing honor and glory to? Or are we bringing honor and glory? Amen? Any voice or report that conflicts with the voice or report which comes from the Word, the work, and or the voice of God is anti-Christ. It's against Christ. It's against the Word. He is the living Word. Amen? If you don't believe that, go back and read the first chapter of John. It's a voice of the stranger and not the shepherd. Anything that does not promote faith, trust, and reliance on and in God needs to be filtered through Jeremiah 29:11, Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24, along with all the other promised inheritance to us. Promised by God. If it doesn't sound or look like God, we need to reject it. No matter what our feelings or our ears or any voice or word other than God's says or tries to get us to accept. Now I've thought about this. And I would tell you the only reason that I would allow these things to come on me and stay on me is if I enjoyed that place. And I don't. And I know you don't. Amen? I don't. I enjoy it when I see God's mighty hand moving, touching lives, my life, your life, lives out there. When I see God doing what He said He would do, when He's lifted up, and by my life and my words, my actions, He's lifted up and men are drawn to Him. Not to me, to Him. Isn't that what you live for? I live for that. Amen? Praise the Lord. I challenge you today. Check your heart. Examine your heart. Cry out like David did. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways and see if there's any wicked way in me. Wicked way, that doesn't mean that you're... It just means that I'm falling short of what your plan and your purpose and your desire for me is. Amen?
Good stuff, huh? Thank you for that word, Bill.
Praise the Lord.
Sure, uplifted me. And I have to tell you something. And I would have Fran come up here and stand with me, except she's busy serving God, so we won't interrupt her. But, you know, in all the time that I have been walking with God, He has never once done something. Now, I've made my share of mistakes. I most certainly have. Have I got it wrong more than once? Oh, let's count the number of times. But there's one thing God has never done for me. He has never failed me. He has never forsaken me. He has never allowed me to go begging bread in whatever form you want to put that in. And I would encourage every person in this room, every one of us, to think about the time we've been walking with God, the experiences that we've been through, some of the things that we have seen and some of the things that we have heard. We've all come up against situations, and then the natural didn't look real hot at that moment. Amen. But never once has He failed me. Never once has He forsaken me. And, you know, if I look around this room at all these people, these, y'all are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Y'all are my friends. I've heard a lot of your stories. I've seen a lot of your tears. Never once have I heard any person in this room ever, one time, say, God forsook me. God failed to meet my need. God wasn't there when I needed Him. God wasn't there in the darkest hour of my life. No! No, He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. Never let His seed go begging bread. Amen. Glory.
Bless you, Kemp. Our prayers are with you, my brother. If anyone here wants prayer this morning, whether motivated by the message or something going on in your life, don't leave here without getting prayer. Prayer changes things. How many of us know that? We've watched God over the years in this fellowship do tremendous things by our prayers, by our faith. Amen?
Amen.
Heal before our eyes deliver an injured child. Cause cancer to disappear, confounding not only us but the doctors. Move on our behalf in what looks like imminent failure and disaster when it comes to our home.
We've seen Him bring provision into places where there was no provision. Amen. Where there was a barren field.
Amen.
He's brought provision in.
Amen.
He's led us beside still waters.
Yes.
He's caused us to lie down into green pastures.
Amen.
And made our cups overflow.
Praise the Lord.
Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
I just feel led that this morning, that we should make a new commitment to the Lord this morning. We're going to guard our hearts. We're going to be careful what we listen to and what we receive from sources that are not quote-unquote godly sources, that bring stimuli of a negative nature, no matter what it is. If you want to do that this morning, then let's gather as a family. Let's agree with one another. Let's pray with one another. This is a new day. Amen? As they say, it's the first day of the rest of our lives. It's a new year also. Let's start it out by making a commitment. Stronger and bigger than the one we've made in the past. Amen? If it needs to be a refreshed commitment, then so be it. It's between you and God. I don't need to know. He knows. Come on up here. Let's as a family. If God's directing you, don't do it just because I said so. Do it because the Spirit of God's moving you to do it. But I want to make a new commitment to Him this morning. Amen?
Amen. You know, people will say it was in the newspaper, so it must be the truth. My question for you is, how much truth do you expect to get for 50 cents? And where were you going to find it tomorrow? It'll be in the bottom of a birdcage. I will settle for the truth,
amen.
The life, and the way. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Jean. I hate to stop her, but she needs to get in on this. She needs to get in on this. Got two more coming. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we include the girls back there too. Praise you, Lord. If you feel led, go ahead and pray. If not, then somebody will. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, this morning we've gathered in this purpose, Lord, to make a new commitment to you. To commit our allegiance to your word and to the truth, because you are truth, Lord. And to guard our hearts against those things which are not from you. And those voices and those ones who'd come in through the back door with things that don't come from you, that are not possible for you to give, Lord, so they can't be from you. This morning, Lord, I thank you for these people who love you, who've committed their lives to you, who serve you with all their hearts. We love you, we need you, and we thank you, Lord, for this day. And I thank you, Lord, that you're marking this day and this commitment that we make now corporately together, Lord, that we're going to do better than we've ever done because we're going to listen to the right voices. We're going to listen to the right things. And we're going to seek truth in the place where only truth comes from, and that's in you, in your presence, in relationship with you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that those outside stimuli are things that are subject to change, but your word, your promises, your inheritance is not subject to change. It's only subject to our obedience and our willingness to listen to what you say and obey and walk in truth. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that these people have been touched by your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word has gone out this morning. And, Lord, I now seal that word. And I thank you that word is already in operation, already coming to pass and fruition in their lives, even this moment, starting this day and time. We thank you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name for the things you've shown us, the things you enlighten us with, your word that brings revelation, comfort, exhortation, truth, and benefit to us as your people and as your body, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us and healing us and setting us free and making us free indeed. We love you. We commit to serve you all the days of our lives, again, Lord, afresh, anew. And we thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every day and that salvation is new every day. We walk in a new salvation today, Lord. We walk in a new mercy, Lord, and goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you and give you all glory and honor. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You think we can work a testimony?
Oh, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't. Oh, yeah. We want everybody to hear it. We want to get it on tape.
Yeah, I was diagnosed almost a year ago with some kind of skin cancer on my right ear. And I was supposed to go back to the doctor shortly after that. And I just dismissed it from my mind and just forgot about it more or less. But my ear was starting to hurt again. And so I'll go and check it out. So I went and checked it out, and they said, no problem there. Just
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We rejoice with you.
I remember when you brought that forward and you asked for prayer for that. We gathered around you, laid hands on you, and we prayed for it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are a blessed people. Amen. Praise God.